Can I just tell y'all about my morning? Like, this is an opportunity for me to be transparent today. I didn't sleep well last night. I was a little freaked out. I bought a new razor, like an electronic razor, and for some reason I wasn't thinking. This has nothing to do with the message. I'm literally just venting. So I took the electronic razor to see if it worked, and I put it up to my freshly groomed beard and started going in circles. And I felt hair fall, and I'm like, it works, babe, it works. And I'm like, pieces of hair is missing out of my beard. So I'm freaking out. I go to bed. I can't sleep. I wake up this morning, can't figure out what to wear. So I run out the door, grab clothes. I'm driving down the street. I hear something flapping in the wind. My sermon almost flies out the window. I'm like, oh. I roll the window back down after I get my sermon in order. And then I try to clean my windshield because I can't see. And mud water starts hitting me in the face. I'm like, God. And then I get to church and I'm ready to come in here. And I realize that I have like sleeping pants on, and I'm like, oh man, I never put my pants on. I literally just got my pants on about 10 minutes ago. Welcome to church. So that's where I am this morning. So with that being said, we are in a series called At the Movies. If you haven't been here, the first message was called Gospel Identity. It's about knowing who you are in Christ. Last week's message was about gospel connection. It's hearing the Father and being led by the Holy Spirit. And today we're on gospel life. It's talking about how having your identity and having a gospel connection brings forth a gospel life. And the name of the message is called The Force Awakens. Do we have any Star Wars fans in here today? Okay, not many, but it's going to be good, okay? I'll give you a little brief synopsis if you've never seen Star Wars. Essentially, it's about good versus evil or light versus darkness. You have this dark side of the Force, and you have the light side of the Force, also known as the Council. And they are supported by a group called the Resistance. They resist the darkness. In The Force Awakens, the dark side has previously been defeated, and for three decades, no one's heard a peep from the guys, but then they start an uprising that's led by a guy named Kylo Ren, all right? In order to overcome the darkness, one has to have the light force. I want you to take that, put a note in your mind and take that to heart right there. In order to overcome the darkness, one has to have the light force to do so. At this point in Star Wars history, Luke Skywalker's missing. Luke is the last of the council. He's a Jedi of the light force. He's one of the main characters of Star Wars if you've never seen it. In fact, most people who's never watched Star Wars a day in their life, they know, at least know the name Luke Skywalker. Or they know Darth Vader. They know something about Star Wars. He's kind of a big deal. So he's missing. We're introduced in this movie to a young lady named Rey. She appears to have the light force working in her pretty strong. In the movie, she ends up fighting Kylo Ren. This is another thing I want you to take note of. Kylo Ren is a trained warrior on the dark side. This is just a young girl. She's untrained, but he's a trained warrior. He knows how to use the Force. He knows how to use his weapon. And here stands Rey, untrained with a lightsaber, going to war with a dude who's trained for the first time ever. And one thing I want to point out, and it's true in the Bible, and it's true in silence and science, that the light always overcomes the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome the light. She ends up fighting them. She defeats them. She's warring against them. Eventually, she goes on this quest to find Luke. As I said, Luke is a member of the council. They train the light force. They train people of how to use the force. And Luke's the last person that can really adequately train her how to walk in the power that she's received. And I imagine how powerful she would have been had she been trained. I think about us as Christians. us as Christians how powerful we'll be if we're trained to walk this thing out, to live a life of gospel purpose with the light living in us so that we can shine in the midst of the darkness. I think of Jesus coming here, living a perfect life, modeling the love of the Father, training us for righteousness, reconciling us to the Father and himself through his blood and his sacrifice, and then going, sitting at the right hand of the Father, giving us the Holy Spirit so the force can be awakened in us. The force is awakened. So that we can live a life that's holy with purpose and with power, giving us identity so we'll know how powerful we are in Christ. The Bible calls Jesus a wonderful counselor. Isaiah calls him a wonderful counselor. So I look at Jesus and I see he is the counsel. He is the one who can train us how to walk in the light. He is the counsel. So where we're going to start in the New Testament today, but first thing I want to do is do a little recap, maybe a little history lesson for some of us. At the end of the Old Testament is Malachi. And from Malachi to the first book of the New Testament, which is Matthew, theologians believe there's a 400-year period of silence. That's 400 years God's people haven't heard from him. Nobody really knows where he's at. We don't have much history on what's going on. But what we do have and what we do know is from 1st and 2nd Maccabees. Darkness is great on the land. If you've grown up Catholic, you probably know a little bit about 1st and 2nd Maccabees. It's the Maccabean revolt. It's where they rose up. Judas Maccabees. Judah. It was a very dark period. A guy named Antiochus Epiphanes rose up. He hated Jews, murdered thousands and thousands of Jews. He desecrated the temple. They called it, in Daniel, the abomination of desolation that we speak of. He went in, he slaughtered a pig on the altar. He turned the church into a cesspool. Literally, there were people having sexual relations in God's holy temple. It was the darkest time. So when I say the people were looking for a savior, when I say they needed hope, they really needed hope. So when Jesus came on the scene proclaiming to be God, proclaiming to be the Messiah, the savior of the world, it was kind of a big deal. It was a really big deal. We hear John the Baptist talking about this light that is to come into the world shortly after Jesus steps on the scene. You know how it goes. He goes, he grows up, perfect life, gets dunked into the water. Spirit ascends on him like a dove. He goes out to the wilderness. He comes back and the world changes. The force is awakened. Forces awaken. I just want to paint a picture of light and darkness from a biblical perspective because that's the war we face. John 1:1-13 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness and to testify concerning the light so that all through him might believe. He himself was not the light, John. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world he made, the world did not know him. They did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God." The force was awakened. Point A. When the manifested presence of God shows up, funerals stop, darkness flees, and life happens. When the manifested presence of God shows up, funerals stop, darkness flees, and life happens. How glorious of a story is that? Jesus shows up on the scene, Luke 7, 11 through 17. Amazing miracle happens. Keep in mind, 400 years, no major miraculous, no resurrection of the dead. 400 years, silence. Jesus. Soon after, Jesus went to a town called Nain and his disciples, and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. That's very important. She was a widow with only one son left. That means nobody was there to take care of her. Because the religious people weren't going to do it. They were stealing money. They didn't care about the orphans. They didn't care about the widows. They only cared about padding their pockets. But Jesus was on the scene. It says, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on. And the bearer stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and he began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. Keep that phrase in your mind. God has come to help his people. The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. What Jesus done was crazy. It was unthinkable. He went up and touched a dead guy. That would have made him unclean. Just to touch the bier would have made him unclean. But he had a heart. He done something that was super unthinkable. And I want you to try to imagine this in this day and age, because I try to take the scripture and make them practical for us. We're having a funeral procession. We're going down the road. And then a random guy comes up and just opens the casket and tells whoever is in that casket to get up and live. People would freak out. I would freak out. But here's Jesus. This isn't just somebody. This is the author of life. This is the giver of life, the renewer of life. And people knew Jesus. He had a buzz in the city. They knew he could do miracles. And everybody stopped. And just wondered, what is he going to do next? What's he going to do next? And resurrection of the dead wasn't foreign. It's not like it had never happened before. A lot of us forget about the Old Testament. Elijah, what did he do? He raised the child from the dead. 1 Kings 17, 17 through 24. I'm not going to read it, but the summary is a woman's son died. He goes in, takes him to an upper room, stretches over him three times. Boom, calls out to the Lord. He raises from death to life. It's not the first time the Jewish people are used to miraculous. They just hadn't seen it in a long time. But the force was awakened. The first thing that happened is the people got silent. The presence of God will silence us. Luke says the bearers stood still, and I imagine that the whole place got so silent that you could hear a leaf blow or a pin drop. And people's like, what's he gonna do? This dude's touching a dead guy. What is he gonna do? And they're sitting there anticipating, probably thinking, confused, silent. Souls are still, but here's what I want you to catch from this. They wasn't worried about the situation. They wasn't worried about the fact that someone was dead. They were silent before the Lord. And when the Lord encounters us in a way that's that powerful, only thing we do is silence ourselves before him. And we just listen. Because we want to hear what he has to say. The people are quiet. Their souls are silent. The next thing Jesus does is he stops the tears of the mother. He wipes away the tears of the brokenhearted. And he turns tears of pain stop. And turns them into tears of joy. Because I guarantee you the mother never stopped crying after Jesus raised her son. The tears just changed. And the people were amazed. The power of God, the voice of God, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit awakens us and takes us from being defeated by darkness to being victorious light of the world. The dead man started talking. And I often want to be a fly on the wall or maybe a fly in a tree or a person in the crowd and wonder, wait, I wonder what he talked about. Like, what did he say? It said that he just woke up. The Bible literally says he continued conversation. That's what the translation is. So that means if I was to put myself into that position, I'm on my deathbed. I'm crying out. I'm thinking, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for my life. And even before I died, I got to see a miracle even here on earth. The Tennessee Vols defeated the Florida. Ugh. And then I die, and then Jesus shows up on the scene, and he touches the buyer, and I wake up, and I say, Florida Gators, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I continue my sentence, and I'm excited, and I look and see Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, you're the dude they were talking about. What are you doing here? Who are all these freaky people around me? Which one of y'all stripped me? Who done it? Who done it? Why are you here, Mom? Why do you look like you've been crying? I would have asked a lot of questions. But he sees Jesus. And the Bible says that the silence turned into celebration. Our silence turns into celebration. It says they were filled with awe. Awe is literally a holy gasp of silence, then wonder. It was literally touch. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then it says they screamed, ah! The crowd went crazy because they seen a miracle and they start saying, a great prophet is among us. They hadn't seen anybody raised from the dead in a very long time. In fact, 400 years, they hadn't seen that kind of power walking through the earth. But Jesus was in the place and the force was awakened. See, the prophets were only foreshadowing what Jesus was going to do with his ministry. It was foreshadowing the power of God. And they said one thing, right? They said, he's a prophet, that he was. But he's not just a prophet. He's the prophet, the Messiah, and the son and image of the invisible God. Walking and dwelling amongst the people, stirring up hearts. Stirring up hearts. Jesus had a unique ministry. Kind of confused everybody. It definitely confused the religious leaders. They didn't know what to do with the guy. Remember, John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one we've been waiting for? And what did he say to him? He said, look, the dead have been raised. They're raised up. People are walking. People are doing, seeing miraculous signs and wonders. I am the light. I am the force that's been awakened. I'm here. Despite what it looks like. And I think of us when we become Christians, when we start following Jesus, people want us to look a certain way, right? People want our ministry to be cookie cutter. They want it to be something they've seen before, but maybe God has called us to something different. Maybe it's not going to look like what the world wants it to look like. But we know we're called. And even John the Baptist had questions. But the force was awakened. The deaf could hear. The dead was raised. And the good news was proclaimed. The force is awakened. And the light and the life of this world is here. And he's in this place even today. The same Jesus that hung on the cross and rose again is living right here in vessels that's broken. But he takes us and he makes us new and he calls us holy and he calls us righteous because of he that's living in us. It's a beautiful story. The next thing that happens is the people shouted, God is here. Now, I'm not sure they realized what they were saying pertaining to Jesus, but they started shouting, God is here. He was more than a prophet. God is here, they shouted. 400 years, no miracles, no power. As I've been saying, I'm trying to drill this into you. The power of when Jesus came and the people started shouting, God is here. God is here. The message says it like this, and I love it. It says, God is back. He's come back to his people, and he's ready to move. He's ready to shake things up. He's stirring hearts. He's drawing the lost closer to him. He's transforming lives. God is back. And he's in this place. Point B. When we encounter the living God in a way that leads to eternal life, our lives start to reflect the holy God rather than sinful flesh. When we encounter God in a way that leads to eternal life, our lives start to reflect a holy God rather than sinful flesh. When the force is awakened, the old things pass away, but his love for us that was put in us from the foundation of the earth remains. That's it. When everything else fades away, his love will remain. Thank you, Jesus. Exactly. And I start to think of Zacchaeus. Man, Zacchaeus has a really cool story. This is a tax collector. He's a really short guy, kind of like myself. And Luke 19, 1 through 10 says this. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. And I've been in concerts standing in front of trees, so I can feel this dew. He couldn't see nothing, but he didn't give up. I bet the dude was probably trying to jump on people's shoulders, and they're like, get off me, little dude. He's like, but I want to see Jesus. So he starts looking around. What can I do? And the scripture says that he took off running, and he climbed a sycamore tree. There was nothing, no circumstance, not his height, not the way that God created him, stopped him from seeing Jesus. He was going to see the Savior regardless. And then he climbs this tree. It says that when Jesus reached the spot, not a spot, when he reached the spot, it was almost as if Jesus was waiting for him. When he reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He was looking for Jesus, and Jesus is looking for him. How many of us have that story? We're looking for Jesus, and Jesus is already looking for us. And here's the crazy thing about the story. Maybe you've never noticed. It says that he was trying to see who Jesus was. It insinuates he didn't know Jesus. But Jesus knew his name. And he called him out of the tree. And he said, dude, you're the one I want to stay with tonight. Let me camp out with you tonight. And what do you think happened? People start to gossip. It says, all the people saw this and they began to mutter. He is going to be a guest of a sinner. Jesus comes into our lives. The force is awakened and people have a hard time seeing us for who God is calling us to be. Because the difference between us and Jesus is we see people by their actions and by their outer appearance, but Jesus is looking at our hearts. And he's searching. To and from, just looking for a heart that's willing to climb a tree to spend a little time with him, just to look at him. He didn't even expect to spend time with him. The force was awakened when the love of God destroyed religion and demanded the reconciliation of relationship. I'm going to say that again. The force was awakened When the love of God destroyed religion and demanded the reconciliation of relationship, it was no more being apart from Jesus. It was no more running from him. He's running to us and we're running to him. And he says, look, I want to camp out with you. When we live a life of running toward Jesus, just hoping to see the next thing he's going to do or the next thing and the next thing in our lives, he says, look, I want to dwell with you. I want to live in you. I want to work through you. I'm going to change you. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of gospel life. And here's a telltale sign that you've been awakened by the force is because when God hits you and comes inside of you, things start to change. You can't help it. They just start to change. You're like, what's wrong with me? I used to be a fighter and now I'm crying and things start to change. And look at what happens with Zacchaeus. It says, but Zacchaeus stood up and he said, Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will repay them back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He's looking at hearts. He's looking at hearts. And the power of God impacts our lives. Things start to change. You have to make things right. Conviction starts to happen and we start giving things away. We start calling people that we know we've hurt. You say, I'm sorry, but I met Jesus. Can you forgive me? And a little Zacchaeus hanging out with Jesus, making things right with the poor, giving all of his wealth away to follow Jesus. He's given it all away. What a story. He took hold of what God's love was doing in his heart. He saw that gospel life is much more freeing than worldly oppression. And he was willing to do something about it. I remember when the force was awakened in me. I'll never forget it. I'm standing in the middle of Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, on tour with a major artist. I decided as of last week, I'm no longer going to say his name because I don't want people thinking I'm using him as a crutch. But I'm standing in an arena with one of the biggest artists in the nation to this day. And I have VIP passes in my hand, and of course I'm up to no good. And I'm walking around looking at all these people thinking, man, I want this life. I just want to be like this. And then God showed up. And I was dreaming, but I was awake. And I started to see my life scroll before my face like a movie reel. And I'm looking around. I see Vacation Bible School. I see youth group, I see me when I encountered the living word of God and the Bible just challenged me and started to stir something in me, so I closed it. And when I opened my eyes and came back to reality, it literally felt like somebody was standing on my head trying to drill me into the ground. The force was awakened. He brought a light into my life and showed me my darkness. I couldn't hide no more. And I turned around and I repented and I left the music industry and I spent my life, and I'm still spending my life running, trying to climb that tree because I just want to know who he is. So when I look out here, I see people that's been awakened. I don't just see people. I see people that God has called to a gospel identity. He's called to gospel connection. He's called to gospel life. And he's giving you a purpose, not the cliche purpose that people say just to brush over your situation. No, he's literally giving you a purpose to live. I don't care how old or how young you think you are. you have a purpose. And maybe you just forgot. Maybe you don't remember, but today what I want to do is just allow us to just sit in the presence of the Holy of Holy, the God who knows you. Just let him speak to you, just in the silence. It's so hard to turn everything down and just get silent before the Lord in our day. And right now, I just want you to hear God. Maybe he brings a picture in your mind and reminds you of a love you once had, a passion you once had. Maybe he just whispers something. Maybe, I don't know, you hear God and he reminds you of a mission that he called you to. But right now, I just want Aaron to come worship with me. Just take a few minutes to be silent before the Holy God. And if you want prayer, if you need prayer, I'll be in the front. Lawrence will be with me. And we'll just be worshiping just for a little while longer in the still, quiet presence of the Lord.